JCPenney.
Coupon valid 9/14 to 9/17. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Harvick's team hopes to find more speed heading into the playoffs. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here with some real news. My delicious world-famous original recipe fried chicken is available at a KFC near you. It has been and will be until the end of time. No matter what's happening in the world, you can trust that my original recipe chicken is always made with the living herbs and spices. Many unnamed sources agree. It's delicious. Get it in a KFC $10 chicken share and enjoy it with a friend. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Before the winner's circle, before the engines start, the chase for the checkered flag begins in the garage. Follow Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jimmy Johnson, Chase Elliott, and Casey Kane in a groundbreaking new series that goes behind the scenes with Hendrick Motorsports. Road to Race Day is now streaming on go90.show/MRN. That's go90.show/MRN.
Kevin Harvick is the sixth seed heading into the start of the first round of the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoffs this weekend in Chicago. Harvick has just one win this season, coming at Sonoma in June, and is coming off a 15th place finish in Richmond last Saturday. He believes his Stewart Haas Racing team still needs to find more speed if they're going to contend for this year's championship.
You know, I think right now we're treading water. You know, I think we're treading water to try to keep up with the Toyotas. And, you know, in order for us to get where we need to be, we got to make sure that we dot all our I's and cross all of our T's and get the most out of our car.
And Stewart Haas Racing announced today that Smithfield Foods will join the team for next season after spending the last several years with Eric Almirola at Richard Petty Motorsports. See more now at MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
The poor Chicago Bears cannot even win on Twitter. More on that to come as hour number three of the Todd Brommelkamp Show comes your way on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across Eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, the historic main gym here at KGYM. Congratulations to Al from Atkins. He's today's winner of the $30 gift card to La Cantina, Mexican bar and grill. You don't have to just use that on site. Remember, they do catering all throughout football season, graduation parties, weddings, funerals, whatever you need it for. Give them a look online, La Cantina 319. Mark Morehouse from the Cedar Rapids Gazette set to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk all things Hawkeye football, including the change to Iowa's schedule with Nebraska and Black Friday dropping off and Wisconsin and traditional Saturday football back on tap in 2020 and 2021. Mark joins us coming up in about 20 minutes. Week one of the NFL season officially in the books last night. Doubleheader featuring the Chargers and the Broncos. That game came after the Saints and the Vikings. Adrian Peterson making his debut, 18 yards on six carries for not Minnesota, but New Orleans last night, playing just 9 of 62 snaps on offense, out-touched and out-carried by not only Mark Ingram, but also rookie Alvin Kamara out of Tennessee. And lo and behold, 366, 1600, batting leadoff in hour number three. Cajun Troy wants to talk about AP, the Vikings, the Saints, last night's game. What's on your mind, Troy?
Hey, first of all, when I heard that there's a sauna in there, it was a sauna in the Minnesota Stadium. Very humid, my curls just flopped, everything. Everybody was sweating because the way it's made is almost like a greenhouse, so the sun is shining through it, and then they had the doors open, but no air conditioning. So it was, first of all, that was uncomfortable. And then I don't know why he signed with us, and I don't know why his agent let him sign with us, but I guess he just wants the money because Sean Payton doesn't play running backs continuously, you know, and that's why he's going to average about 9 to 12 yards to carry. And the fans in Minnesota were very disappointed because they wanted him to play so he could fumble the ball. So that was like, yeah, but my poor team, we're pretty bad. And so it's Bradford look like a Hall of Fame quarterback. So we'll see if he could do that against Pittsburgh Steelers next week, but Sean Tate needs to go. and it's time for us to move on. I really do that. But no, but it was fun. We had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with the Vikings fans. They're still crying about that NFC Championship, and they were giving me crap because they beat us. But then I pulled out my Super Bowl hat and was like, can you guys get one of these? And they were like, okay, low blow. But it was fun. Ooh. And but the stadium, nice. So we'll see what happens. It's just only game one.
Yeah, it's only game one, and you're wanting to throw Sean Payton overboard. I know.
But you know what? Todd, it's the same thing.
I know. You've wanted to for a while.
We've been in the bottom of defense for the last 5 years. You know, ever since he came from that suspension, we just haven't been a great team. We really haven't. And it's time we just, you know, and I mean, you know we're going to be 0-2 against Tom Brady next week. If Bradford's true for that, the number one fantasy quarterback, can you imagine what Tom Brady going to do after a loss? And then we go to Carolina. So when I go to London, I'm going to go to the Saints game, but that won't be my focus. I'm going to spend a whole week there doing other things, but I'll go to the Saints game.
All right. We appreciate you with the on-site report from week one as the Vikings beat the Saints last night at US Bank Stadium. Here's the thing with Adrian Peters. This is what I didn't understand at the time, and still after watching last night's game, trying to wrap my head around it. He doesn't do the things well that you need to do as a running back in Sean Payton's offense. He doesn't do those things. Alvin Kamara does. Mark Ingram does. So she mentions his agent. Exactly. Why doesn't your agent steer you toward a team that you're going to at least fit in on? He got into it, or appeared to get into it, with Payton on the sidelines last night. Not happy over the amount of play. Again, 18 yards on 6 carries, playing 9 of the 62 offensive possessions. At the end of the day, and Jamal Charles is going through this as well with Denver, last night 10 carries, 40 yards, but he had a big fumble. You go from being the featured back and being a big-time star to you sort of have to accept a complementary role with your new team. And Charles looked a little bit more comfortable with that last night. AP, I think, still thinks he's the AP of 5 or 6 years ago, and that's not the case anymore.
See, that's you just hit on the issue of what of Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson, when he was in his prime, there's no question he was one of the top two running backs in the NFL. But he's the kind of running back that you have to change your whole offense around because he doesn't pass block very well. He doesn't catch passes very well. And I think his career high in receptions was somewhere around 45 or 50. And now that he's not that feature back, what good is he to a team whose best running backs in the past are the ones who catch passes? And Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara both do that. And Adrian Peterson at age 32, coming off of another knee injury, doesn't do that. So I thought that he would have been better suited going to another team that may try to give him more carries in a role where they could change up their offense just a little bit for him. In New Orleans, it just, the fit wasn't there from the beginning. And I think a lot of people had been saying that from the beginning. And now he's going to be buried because Alvin Kamara, who was a sneaky good fantasy pick by you, Todd, is going to get more and more action in that offense.
I have him in every league that I'm in, and this is the hottest of hot fantasy football takes right here. This is hotter than anything you'll hear Tristan Cockcroft say tomorrow when he joins us from ESPN.com. Alvin Kamara in New Orleans will be this year's Jordan Howard in Chicago.
Wow.
Mark Ingram can't stay healthy. Adrian Peterson's best years are behind him, and Kamara, underutilized at Tennessee by Butch Jones, is going to be a star in the NFL. This from the guy who thought Kristen Michael was going to have a huge year last year, although he did outrush. Who was the bet with Tyler? He had to have more rushing yards than the other running back in Seattle, and he did, but it was only because
Thomas Rawls,
and it was only because of an injury. But maybe don't take my word for it, although I think Alvin Kamara is only owned in like 38% of Yahoo leagues or something crazy like that. But anyway, not to talk fantasy football on Tuesday because that's a Wednesday thing. I'm a big believer in Alvin Kamara. I think he's going to be a key cog in whatever that offense looks like. You know, with no Brandon Cooks, Drew Brees is another year older. The running backs, the two veterans in Mark Ingram and AP, both have age and health issues. And maybe she, you know what? I got the solution to all of New Orleans' problems. Bring back Jim Mora Sr. Did you see? I know we were talking about Dip or whatever his name is, the ESPN sideline reporter.
Sergio Dip.
People were making fun of him the other night. Apparently, it was a local TV broadcast involving Jim Mora last night. I can't remember what city he was in, but he thought he was off camera, didn't think the segment was live, and he dropped the S-bomb on the air with the two other anchors that he was sitting alongside. And I thought, Jim Mora Sr. is a national treasure. Bring that man back. He's a good coach.
How has he not found traction as a color commentator or on a national level?
Yeah, people say they don't pay attention to the NFL anymore. But yet again, I'm talking to somebody earlier today who doesn't pay attention to the NFL, and I mentioned the result of the game involving their favorite team from week one. They knew the outcome. I said, I thought you didn't pay attention to the... So I'm not buying that people aren't paying attention to the NFL, because you may not be watching it as much, but we're all addicted in one way, shape, or form. Trust me on this. A lot of the people that say they're not paying attention, still paying attention in one form or another. But yeah, put Mora Sr. I hate having to say that because Jim Mora Jr. is in the NFL ranks as well, so it gets a little bit confusing. But I'm playoffs! Put that, just give him a live microphone and an 8-second delay and let him go. But that's being facetious. That's not going to solve New Orleans' problem. She wants Sean Payton to go. Maybe he should go. Was it not weird, though, last night, looking at Adrian Peterson in a Saints uniform?
Oh, it was very weird.
Even after all of the garbage that Peterson went through and abusing his son, and I still can't believe that his career rebounded from that. I really can't. But, again, football, just it seemed like, okay, Vikings aren't going to work out right off into the sunset. And here he is, putting on a Saints uniform, tarnishing what was left of his legacy by trying to wring another year or two out of his body. And the results again last night, 18 yards on 6 carries. I don't think that's Sean Payton not utilizing Adrian Peterson. I just think that's what Adrian Peterson is nowadays.
I tend to agree with a little bit of an asterisk. I just don't think that the New Orleans Saints are a good running football team. And to make them a good running football team, you have to have the threat of the running back coming out of the backfield, and that's not what Adrian Peterson is. I don't think this situation is going to end well in New Orleans with Adrian Peterson. And did it not make things that much worse for Adrian Peterson, the performance that Dalvin Cook had in his first game as a Minnesota Viking?
61-82 agreeing with me on AP's flaws not fitting in New Orleans. And Cajun Troy, not a big fan of Jim Mora Sr. I was being facetious. I like the guy. I think he's interesting. He'd be great on a broadcast, except last night. I'll have to see if I can dig that up, find out what station that was. Maybe it was a local indie station or a local New Orleans station anyway. He didn't realize he was lying. He was asking, one of the anchors said something about him, and he said, oh, yeah, going to give him blank. And my favorite part is the guy sitting next to him, who should know how a microphone works. You can't put the toothpaste back into the tube, dude. Mora says the S word, and the guy reaches over and puts his hand on top of the microphone like it's somehow going to turn back time and keep the word from going through the processors and all of the other technicals. No, once it's out there, it's out there.
Maybe he was just trying to keep him from saying another bad word.
Well, that could be too. This Dip guy was actually going to be in the intro to the program. I kind of felt bad for him last night. And then the Iowa-Nebraska news hit today. We're going to talk about that with Mark Morehouse from the Cedar Rapids Gazette coming up in 10 or 12 minutes. But ESPN sideline reporter last night, who I guess they brought over from ESPN Deportes, which is their Spanish-speaking network, and English as a second language, he was nervous. It was his first time, and a lot of people were making Boom Goes the Dynamite references with him. He actually had a good sense of humor about it last night. He was tweeting a screenshot of Googling the phrase, how to deal with fame. But here's this guy nobody's ever heard of, and ESPN. This is ESPN at its finest, though. They make sometimes bad decisions that backfire horribly on them, and this is one of them, because what are the optics of ESPN in the last several months? They have let go of a lot of very talented, very capable veteran people across all platforms, one of them being Ed Werder, who people were talking about. Oh, look, they let Ed Werder go. Ed Werder, by the way, is doing sidelines for Westwood One. You can hear him occasionally on games here on KGYM this season, and ESPN was kind enough to let him out of his contract or let him do those games and still get his severance pay from ESPN. They didn't have to do that. But I felt bad because my initial reaction was to laugh last night, and then I learned a little bit more about the guy, and okay, he's from ESPN Deportes, and English is his second language, and that's not on him. I'm not going to make fun of a guy who's trying to make a living for his family, and just because he grew up speaking another language and has learned English, he probably speaks English better than I do in certain instances. I'm not going to blame him for being put in a position to fail last night. ESPN, his employers, put him in a position to fail last night. And now he's the butt of jokes, and I feel bad for him from that standpoint.
And
his last name is Dip.
Sergio Dip.
Which sounds totally made up. It sounds like, do you remember the Nintendo baseball games in the early 90s, like SNK Baseball Stars? Sergio Dip sounds like a guy that would be a character in that game.
Or like Backyard Baseball, the game that was played on the
Yes,
the PC.
Like the name of somebody that a Japanese person would think would be a real name. Sergio Dip, put him in the game.
I did feel bad for him because whenever something like this happens, I think to myself, first of all, what if somebody asked me to go out there speaking a second language, a language that was my second language in front of a camera, how poorly it would go. So I really did feel bad because he is the butt of so many jokes. And I think that there were a couple of instances last night that kind of took a little bit of the attention off of him as the night went along last night. But like you said, Todd, there you said your first reaction was kind of to laugh. Mine was to cringe. It was a little bit cringeworthy because I knew what was going to happen.
I laughed first because I'm a jerk, and I readily admit that I laughed first because I'm a jerk. Or another word that I can't say, which my boss actually called me Friday at Coach's Corner over cocktails, and he meant it as a compliment because he was comparing me to him. Is you and I are both blank. And I was like, I don't know whether that's a compliment, but it's coming from the boss, so I'm going to sit here and sip my drink and go, yeah, okay, you know, I laughed because I think that was the natural reaction. Oh my God, this guy has one job. This is the one, you had one job meme. You had one job, stand on the sideline, give a report that makes sense. And instead, he sounds like Boom Goes the Dynamite guy. And then, you know, okay, who is this guy? Start digging a little bit deeper. Good God, they put somebody from ESPN Deportes who's used to doing soccer, and they put him on an NFL broadcast with very little background and said, go out and do this. That's on ESPN for putting him in a position to fail. 319-366-1600. Mark Morehouse is going to be joining us in just a little bit. He just tweeted out a story from one of the Nebraska beat writers that makes it sound as if Nebraska is not going to be playing on Black Friday with this new series with Minnesota, that they may actually be done with the Black Friday tradition. So I have a feeling the story is not going to go away anytime soon, but we'll talk all things Hawkeye with Mark. Looks like Iowa State picked up a big commitment, basketball or football. We'll save that for our next Big Board update with Kyle coming up in just a little bit. But first, I mentioned that the Chicago Bears can't even win on Twitter. Did you notice this year that the NFL has worked with Twitter to have unique branded hashtags?
Yes.
For teams. They've done this in the past.
All 32 teams.
For baseball teams as well. And like during the playoffs last year, hashtag fly the W and you get the little Cubs white W flag. The Bears, the Chicago Bears, chose as their official hashtag, hashtag Go Bears. And so you hashtag Go Bears, and it has the C logo that's on the Bears' helmets after the hashtag. The problem is that that hashtag is also used by the University of California, Berkeley. And so, and they've been saying Go Bears for decades. And so Cal Berkeley fans were using the hashtag, and the Chicago Bears logo was coming up. As a matter of fact, College Football Talk has a screenshot of Cal Football's Twitter account with the hashtag and the Chicago Bears logo after it. So Berkeley reached out to Twitter and said, hey, this isn't going to work. This isn't fair to us. And lo and behold, yes, the Bears can't even win on Twitter because Twitter has stepped in and now made hashtag GoBears neutral. So if you use it, no logo is going to pop up afterwards.
That's on the NFL partially, too.
Partially, you would think that somebody would be testing the hashtags out and saying, hey guys, this is already used, but it's kind of like Go Hawks. And there was that whole thing with the Seattle Seahawks, and they were trying to trademark Go Hawks. And you think, look, they've been saying that at Iowa for decades, too. And how far can you go before you have to tell a team, no, it's you can't trademark that. But hashtag Go Bear. Think of how many Bears are out there.
Exactly.
From midget peewee football teams to Little League baseball teams, basketball teams, God knows what other sports. There's probably a lot of hashtag Go Bears out there.
I bet the West Branch fans were irate.
Here comes the Bears. How was Oliphant Field last?
It was awesome.
Last Friday night.
It was awesome, as always.
How was the press box food?
Actually, the press box food is now, they just let us get something from the concession stand. So.
Oh, no, that's not as good.
It's pretty good.
We have to talk to Butch's wife about that. 6:25, step aside, take a quick break. Kyle has another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. A couple minutes away, we'll be talking Hawkeye football with Mark Morehouse. Don't go anywhere. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Your business's computing needs are a lot like a symphony orchestra. Each instrument on its own doesn't seem like much, but when the wireless isn't talking with a tablet, and that isn't in tune with the desktop, it's a mess. Network Computer Solutions is in the business of putting it all together in perfect harmony. Network Computer Solutions creates, fixes, and otherwise improves your company's networking computers, and that tunes up your profits. Call 247-7223. 247-7223. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
6:27. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show. A little NFL news for you. We mentioned that the David Johnson news was not very good. He's going to be out 2 to 3 months with the wrist surgery. Danny Woodhead with the Ravens, a little bit better prognosis there. He had the Achilles leg injury, however you want to describe it. Sounds like he had an MRI today, and he is looking at anywhere between 3, 4 to 6 weeks. Now, this is not the Ike Butker news where 4 to 6 weeks is actually 4 to 6 months. This is actually 4 to 6 weeks, but not good. Week one, especially if you're a fantasy football player, and Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com will be with us tomorrow at 6:05, courtesy of Imon Communications, to answer all of your fantasy football questions, including what can you do on the waiver wire to try to make your team better after week one? Here's Kyle. Kyle's trying to make his team better. He's trying to trade for a running back in the KGYM Inner Office League. Keep trying, Kyle. Keep trying. Midwest One Bank brings you this big board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with members of the media this afternoon in Iowa City, and he confirmed fears that senior offensive lineman Ike Butker suffered an Achilles injury and will be out for 4 to 6 months. Ferentz says that the letter of the law doesn't make Butker a likely candidate for a medical redshirt, but the staff will still make an effort. This likely means true freshman Tristan Wirfs will see the field sooner rather than later. Iowa also had its Big Ten schedules released for the 2020 and 2021 season, which held within them a couple of bombshells. First, Iowa will be playing Big Ten games in September, including a September 4th matchup with Indiana in 2021, and will not be playing a yearly Black Friday game with Nebraska. The Hawkeyes had a handful of players selected to Pro Football Focus's Week 2 All-Big Ten teams. On the offense, they recognized Akram Wadley and freshman Amir Smith-Marset, and on the defensive side of the ball, they honored Anthony Nelson as well as Josh Jackson. Iowa State running back David Montgomery also had a strong performance in Ames over the weekend, and he too was recognized, being named to the All-Big 12 offense. Just before we came on the air for Hour 3, Cyclone Basketball got a big commitment from 2018 forward Zion Griffin out of Illinois. 24/7 Sports grades him as a 4-star and the 58th ranked player in his class. He chose Iowa State over an offer from Kansas. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins hosting the Padres. That'll be on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Good-looking prospect, 6'5", 205-pounder out of Hinsdale. And yeah, put a W on the recruiting board for Iowa State against Kansas. He had about 20 other offers, it sounds like. Big time burst onto the scene, according to 24/7 Sports, and says he's looking forward to playing for Steve Prohm and Ames. Our pal Tommy Birch from the Des Moines Register has got some of the details via his colleague Zach Kreglow at the Des Moines Register. You can read him on Tommy's Twitter timeline. You can give me a follow as well at Todd Brommelkamp, the station at KGYM Radio, and we're going to be having at Mark Morehouse. Join us next, the Gazette beat writer here in Cedar Rapids, talking all things Hawkeyes, including that revamped offensive line with Ike Butker out. Will we see Tristan Wirfs on the field as soon as this week against North Texas? And we'll find out, taking the cheese, whether or not Mark noticed Kirk's reference as well. Thank you, by the way, to everybody on the text line who pointed that out. I am too stupid to realize that that's what Kirk Ferentz meant. I thought it was a euphemism for something. And he basically meant take the bait.
Now, isn't
they fell for some of what Iowa State was trying to lull them into last week?
Isn't Mark a Wisconsin native?
Mark is, his wife is Wisconsin.
Oh, okay,
native.
Okay.
Mark is an Iowa guy, okay. As far as I know.
I thought I saw that mentioned by a couple of people on
he's
Twitter.
Got,
that
he has
maybe
family.
There was a reference.
He has family in America's Dairyland, as do I. We'll get the...
Do you think they use that in Wisconsin a lot? Taking the cheese?
Taking the cheese?
Like, instead of saying you got your hand caught in the cookie jar, well, he took the cheese.
Because they love
the
cheese.
The better
so much.
Question is, do folks in Wisconsin get as upset at references to dairy products as people in Iowa do when it comes to shots of combines in fields and corn and beans?
I'm guessing no.
I think it's probably unique to Iowa. Mark joins us next. The final 30 minutes of the Todd Brommelkamp Show here on KGYM on the way after this.
Acme Jewels and Makita are having a big one-day sales event Wednesday, September 13th. Take 15% off select power tools and accessories. $100 off select outdoor power equipment kits. Get a free accessory pack with the purchase of 3 or more Behr tools and much, much more. See store for complete details. Don't miss the Acme Tools and Makita big one-day sales event this Wednesday at Acme Tools on Blairs Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids. Do your best work.
Honda's introducing a new word, Summerbration. Use it as a noun, like, I picked up a 2017 Civic with 0.9% APR at the Honda Summerbration sales event. Or a verb, I'm Summerbrating with KBB.com's Best Buy Overall winner. Start your Summerbration today at your Honda dealer.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to CentralMidwestHondaDealers.com for more details.
For more information, visit Kelly Blue Books, KBB.com. APR financing offers available for well-qualified buyers. Offer excludes all hatchback models and Civic Si. See dealer for financing details.
Napa Know-How.
Getting the best usually costs a pretty penny.
But when it comes to getting one of the best motor oils, your pennies don't have to be pretty at all. Because Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil is only $5.59 a quart. So open up that piggy bank and treat yourself to the best with Valvoline Full Synthetic. Now just $5.59 a quart. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 9/30/17.
Your car's in pretty good shape. If it's only 6 or 7 years old, you just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. Sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage, because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Find Pennzoil at a Walmart near you and make the switch.
6:34. Welcome back. The final segment of the Todd Bromelkamp Show before we let you on your way for a Tuesday night. Twins baseball on the way, 107.5 FM, the North Gym. It's the Twins and the Padres. It doesn't seem nearly as insufferable as it would have back in April when everybody expected both of those teams to be in the basement of their respective divisions. The Twins actually playing quite well all season long and in the driver's seat right now for a wild card berth. They'd probably have to get past the New York Yankees. Still a lot of baseball left to be played, but it's looking good at Target Field. We'll have a game coming up for you later on tonight on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City, where we will be on Friday for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Join us at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, 749. Mormon Trek Boulevard happy hour starts at 3 o'clock, so you can get the jump on us. And 1600 AM, the historic main gym, heard all across eastern Iowa. Can't believe that I didn't get the Taken the Cheese reference earlier today. I was looking too deep into Taken the Cheese after Mark Morehouse, our next guest, brought back Muster One Up, which was a Kirk Ferentz reference from a bowl game many years ago. Mark joins us now on the telephone line. Mark, what's up? Mark, you got us? Oh, we'll see if we can get Mark here on the program. I'll remind you that tomorrow on Wednesday's edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show, we'll talk a little fantasy football with the one and only Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. That's courtesy of Imon Communications. Get those fantasy football questions to us on the text line, 366-1600. Also, your chance to win another $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. That comes up tomorrow here on the Todd Bromelkamp Show. And I think we've got Mark with us now. We've reestablished our connection. And Mark, are you ready for North Texas this Saturday at Kinnick Stadium? What's up?
Hey, Todd, how are you doing? And no, no one's ever ready for North Texas, right?
It's like the Spanish Inquisition. Nobody expects it.
Right.
Actually, the Big Ten did us a favor today, though. I was talking to Alex last week, and I was like, how the hell are we going to get through 5 days of talking about North Texas? Well, the 2020 and 2021 schedules come out today, and lo and behold, Black Friday is a thing of the past. I know you were standing there next to me. We were talking to Gary Barta earlier today. What's your take on basically this reshuffling of the schedule, the abandoning Black Friday? I know you retweeted something from one of the Nebraska writers. It looks like Black Friday is just dead for them.
Yeah, they had statements from Sean Eichhorst, the AD, and coach Mike Riley. Sounds like Black Friday is a dead deal in the Big Ten. I mean, Nebraska doesn't seem to want to do it. That they obviously brought the tradition. Iowa bought into it. I was interested to see. I thought Iowa's attendance was shaky for Black Friday games, and it's only been 3 years of it. But Iowa was like within the 200 people of selling out two of those games. So I think Iowa fans are okay with it. It feels like it's something that Ferentz wants, but it doesn't sound like it's something that anybody else really wants. So we'll see. Barta did not shut the door on Iowa and Wisconsin playing on Black Friday. And it sounds like it's going to rotate between, the season finale is going to rotate between the Hawkeyes, Gophers, Badgers, and Huskers. So I'm kind of all for that. Why, might as well mix that up.
Yeah, Gary didn't seem to enjoy having it pointed out that they didn't sell out those Black Friday games, did he?
But it was close, Todd.
It was close.
69,000, and they have 70,000. It's within. I'll give them the Gallagher watermelon crushing bullseye on that one.
Round up. Let them round up. There you go.
Exactly.
Now you just mentioned it there. The possibility that we're going to see a rotation of opponents in that final game of the regular season for Iowa starting in 2020. Has this Nebraska rivalry, quote unquote, just not taken off the way that many envisioned?
You know, Alex, I looked. I think the ratings for that for Iowa Nebraska are pretty good. I don't know that that's the impetus for this. It sounds like it's just the Big Ten, you know, computer thingy, which Todd, I'm sure, has joked about in the past because it is kind of funny. But I kind of like it. Might as well mix it up and not get all bent out of shape about having to close with a particular team. I went, this kind of pushed me to go and look up how Iowa has done that in the past. Mostly Minnesota. There was a long streak of Michigan State. You know, I don't know, man. I think it's something that people kind of get a little bit too seriously. But you know, as long as it's somebody in the Big Ten West, I think I'm good with it.
I saw your tweet earlier today, and I've been around almost as long as you had. It would be a good trivia question for someone to ask: who other than Minnesota and Nebraska have the Hawkeyes ended the season with the last 20 years? There was the Iowa State game in 2011 because of 9/11. And then there was that one random year where Western Michigan was at, and well, it didn't end very well for the Hawkeyes. It wound up bursting
there. 2007, I think. Tom, you remember when the football season was over before Thanksgiving, or at least it used to be. And I could tell Ferentz did not like when he saw that coming. And, you know, that's the thing. And that's been 10 years now, I think. But, yeah, that Western Michigan game was kind of a weird one that kind of snuck in there. By the time, in the last 20 years since Ferentz has done this, and by the time Iowa and Nebraska are done, you know, 2019, Nebraska will be ahead of Minnesota 9-8, I think. I think Minnesota has 8. Nebraska right now is 6. Wisconsin, I thought they played more at the end of the season together more, but it's only been twice. So, interesting mix. I think it's, you know, I don't think they need to build rivalries anymore. I think Iowa, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and probably what's going on in Minnesota, it feels like it's going to stick, and Minnesota's doing good things under P.J. Fleck. There's enough hate in there for everybody.
And that Western Michigan game costing an Iowa trip to the Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl that year. The other story... I thought it was they were going to go to the bowl game, the Armed Forces Bowl at TCU's stadium because somebody on the board of directors had ties to Iowa. Am I misremembering that?
I just remember the guy from, remember those crazy jackets the Insight Bowl guys used to wear?
Yes.
Like just like sunny yellow, horrible yellow. I seem to remember that guy wanting to jump out of the press box after the Western Michigan game.
He wasn't the only one. I think there were a lot of people wearing Tiger Hawk gear that were working for the school that saw their vacations up in smoke, too. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette joining us. The other sort of buried story here with the release of the schedule, Indiana to start off Big Ten play in 2021, I think, is the season. Your thoughts on Big Ten games early in the season? This is something that we haven't seen in 35, 40 years. I think the last time Iowa opened the season with a Big Ten game was 1980. Indiana and Ohio State did it this year. Kirk sort of brushed a question about that aside earlier today, but you get the vibe he's not a huge fan.
No, and that just depends. I think if fans like it, I think that's also one of those games that, you know, how they're moving games to Fridays now. I think that game has that sort of potential. I don't want to sound any alarms because that seems to be a very sensitive topic, and I don't want to get anybody angry because I don't know. But it feels like that could be, you know, the Big Ten is sort of moving that way. Ohio State agreed to play on a Thursday this year. I could see an Iowa-Indiana game being ticketed for a Friday.
Now, football-wise, it was announced today that Ike Butker will be out 4 to 6 months with an Achilles injury. And the question was, it arised about the true freshman Tristan Wirfs. And Kirk says that we will probably see him this season. This weekend would be as good as any to kind of get his feet wet in the college game, would it not?
Yeah, Alex, that's a great point. And I think Kirk made a point about them being sort of out of depth. I don't know if you guys saw it when James Daniels celebrated and he jumped into the stands at Iowa State last weekend. Those guys are mostly Iowa linemen that he was celebrating with. And I imagine that they're injured. Lucas LeGrand was one of those guys. He'd probably be a tackle who'd be in there. Landon Paulson would probably be another tackle in there. He was one of those guys. So it looks like they really are running out of depth at tackle. And right now I'd say if Sean Welsh hurt his toe or something, I could see Boone Myers playing some tackle. But I think it's just a matter of time now before Werf sees action. And, I thought it was really interesting what Kirk said about him and that he was doing things almost too well for a while. You don't hear that about a player very often. He's just too good. But I thought that was interesting. And I think, Alex, ultimately you're going to be right. I think we see him this weekend.
One other change, we saw this emerge last week at Jack Trice Stadium, but Ivory Kelly-Smith taking over kick return duties for Akram Wadley. Kirk Ferentz says he doesn't believe in pitch counts, but then essentially said Akram Wadley's on a pitch count. They're trying to make sure that he can get through this entire year. What have you seen so far out of the true freshmen this year?
All of them. Time to get A.J. Epenesa some more playing time. That guy's just an effective disruptor of any passing game. So maybe you see him a little more by Penn State. Depends on what he knows. I'm interested in Ivory Kelly Martin. That guy's got some quick feet. Kind of reminds me of Fred Russell a little bit. But beyond that, mostly special teams guys. Mike Hankins lost his rotational time and dime this weekend. So I kind of pump on the brakes a little bit on some of the true freshmen just because, you know, this is reality. And they're playing, big-time football now. But I do think, Todd, that was interesting. I think coming out of a kickoff return, how is Wadley feeling? Is he feeling explosive for that first play at scrimmage? And then they made a similar move at a punt returner with Josh Jackson moving in for Matt Vandenberg. I think kind of they're just – his point about pitch counts, I get. I mean, if you look at Wadley the first 2 weeks, career highs in carries. Definitely last week, 28 carries is a career high for him. I'm sure there's some of that. I'm sure that that's probably a voice coming from within the program, probably shares a last name with Kirk.
Now, one other player that was brought up today was Torrin Young. Is there, and I mentioned this weekend is a good time to get certain guys some action that hadn't seen action the first couple of weeks, and Kirk said that they were trying to get him in there, but they just weren't able to do so in the first couple of weeks. You think we see him on Saturday?
Yeah, probably. I thought, you know, trust factor is a huge thing with running backs, I think, and I think we all kind of see that. I didn't think that they were going to put Torrin Young in to run the clock out or to run the clock out against Wyoming and then to get things going against Iowa State. There hasn't been a good entry point for really, maybe the fourth quarter against Wyoming, but there hasn't been a great entry point for freshman skill players. That Amir Smith-Marsette guy, I think he's got a future in this game, you guys. I thought it was interesting the way Ferentz talked about that and then a picture from Penn State in 2002 with Ed Hinkle. I think you're going to see that picture of Amir Smith-Marsette's catch somewhere up in the complex probably very, very soon.
Yeah, got an Andy Garmon name drop today at the news conference as well. Mark Morehouse from the Cedar Rapids Gazette with us. I don't like looking past any game, and we talked a lot about that last year with North Dakota State. North Texas, Kirk did point out today they were a bowl team last year. He didn't point out what their record was a year ago or how they got into that bowl game. But I think this is an interesting opponent. They play a 3-4 defense, which Iowa hasn't seen yet this year. But more importantly, more intriguing, they come from the Mike Leach air raid style of offense with Seth Luttrell as the head coach. Do you see maybe North Texas giving Iowa some headaches defensively this weekend?
Yes, but what I really kind of want to see is what did Iowa's defense learn from last weekend? There were some specific plays. I'm thinking of the big bomb to Butler, Hakeem Butler, was in the second half. they have to get some jams on the wide receivers. It's a little detail thing, but if a wide receiver has a full head of speed and a flat-footed safety, I don't care what uniform you're wearing, that's going to be advantage wide receiver. Linebacker has to get out and give that guy a shove, get him off route, reroute him. So I think you'll see a lot of that. It'll be interesting to see if we see more dime. It sounds like that's going to be, six defensive backs. It sounds like that's going to be a thing when another team doesn't play tight ends. And I'm not sure if North Texas has that, but a lot of teams, you know, air raid teams, that's kind of a mark of the way, that's how they do business, no tight ends. So we could see a lot more dime again. I think last week it was 14 plays. That might be the most ever for Phil Parker defense.
Now, Mark, I've asked this question to several different people and varying answers, varying opinions on this very topic, but you brought up A.J. Epenesa earlier, and Phil Parker coming into the season had said, I think it was 15 to 25 snaps per game. Do you think he forces the hand of this coaching staff to play him even more than that when all is said and done?
I think I look at the raw athlete and the raw power and just the moves and the speed and the quickness. Yes, I do think that he forces their hand. But what I don't know is what he does or doesn't know. And that'll be a huge factor in how many snaps he sees. I did think it was interesting. He got 16 snaps Saturday. I thought it was interesting later in the game, not in passing situations, they put him in. So maybe they have a movement toward that. But I really think as far as pass rush goes, they need to play him more. I mean, that's just get that figured out and get that kid on the field because he's got it. I mean, he's just got it.
Big Ten opener a week away. It's going to be a 6:30 kickoff on ESPN against Penn State. Are you surprised that they've got 5,500 tickets remaining for that game?
Yes, I am surprised, but I think it was around 6,000 when they announced that it was a night game. I expect those to go, but I think the night game announcement probably gives that game a little more juice. It might be the game where they roll out the crazy ninja uniforms. That one are probably Ohio State, which I think will probably be the next potential night game at Kinnick Stadium. So, yeah, I think I am surprised by that, but, you know, I think the night games get people crazy and those tickets will be almost gone, I would suspect.
Mark, just between you and me and the couple thousand people who are listening right now, I've been told by somebody very reliable that the Ohio State game was suggested and was vetoed by a certain someone for the uniforms. So maybe we do see them against Penn State, but I don't think we'll be seeing them with Urban Meyer in town.
That's interesting. Maybe this weekend.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I've gotten bad info before, but I feel pretty good about this one. And you can imagine the person who held the veto pen on saying, no, not Ohio State. Mark Morehouse, the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. What are you working on right now tonight? What's the story at thegazette.com, the newest one?
The offensive line stuff. I thought it was interesting what Kirk said about Tristan Wirfs. I also thought it was interesting what he said about Alaric Jackson. A guy was 342 pounds last year. He lost like 30 pounds, and now he seems to be the left tackle of the now and the future. So I think interesting stuff from him. I was hoping – I asked for Kevin Ward this week. He's a captain. He's a special teamer. He plays on every special teams except field goal. Kind of wanted to get his story, but he didn't show up on Tuesday. So that one's vetoed by whomever.
Yeah, the guy with the veto pen, apparently. I do like the Alaric Jackson. He basically said he's sort of a poster boy for the entire team, the way that he's come along and progressed. So we'll see if that continues to go forth with North Texas. And Iowa, the opportunity to do something that isn't done very often under Kirk Ferentz, get out of the non-conference season undefeated heading into that Penn State game. We appreciate it, Mark. We'll catch up with you Saturday at Kinnick Stadium.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
6:52, stepping aside, taking a short timeout. Kyle readying another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. He'll have it for you when we return after this.
This is the Jim Scott Udash. Thursday afternoon at 3, we'll come to you live from the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard. The gym class will be live in Washington before their matchup with Linmar. Here on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. We'll talk with coaches and athletes as we count down to kickoff and get you ready for high school football action. The KGYM Tailgate Tour with the Iowa National Guard, Thursday afternoon at 3 on The Gym.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, you save with a $24.99 oil change special. Get 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional or high-mileage oil and an STP oil filter for up to $5.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Dad, in a recent survey, Cleveland Clinic found that about two-thirds of men wish their dads had talked to them more about their health.
Do you want to hear about my health, son?
Actually, yes. If you have a health concern, Cleveland Clinic reminds all men to mention it to their doctor.
Even embarrassing below-the-belt issues.
Doctors have heard it all before, especially Cleveland Clinic. They're ranked number one in urology in the nation, and they've got answers to 10 questions most men are afraid to ask at clevelandclinic.org/mention it.
Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Here's Pete, Tony, and the 2 for $4 croissant sandwich deal.
The other day, Pete and I go to Burger King for my croissant sandwich. You know, they're just 2 for $4.
Oh, it's my favorite. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so I got 2 croissant sandwich, and I get one of this guy.
I'm like, who are you?
I'm the guy that just paid for your breakfast.
That's my favorite guy.
You guys, the croissant sandwich deal is 2 for $4, made with 100% butter for a soft and flaky croissant. Get 2 croissant sandwich sandwiches now for $4 only at Burger King. Price and participation vary.
Guys, hurry into JCPenney for the men's wardrobe sale. Rush in today and save 50% on select suit separates, sport coats, dress pants, and more, including big and tall, with extended sizes up to 5XL and 54 waist in-store and 60 waist at jcp.com. That's right, guys. JCPenney has you covered head to toe. Plus, stack on the savings and get your coupon on the JCPenney app to save an extra $10. Hurry, sale ends soon. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
Coupon valid 9/14 to 9/17. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
6:55, the Todd Brommelkamp Show in the waning stages of a Tuesday edition. Wednesday coming up, it's Fantasy Football Day, courtesy of Imon Communications. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com will be with us in the 6 o'clock hour. He'll answer all of your lineup questions. Hopefully, you can get those waiver claims in tonight to replace the likes of David Johnson, but fingers crossed. I've got the number one waiver priority in one league, which I've got a pretty good team, but it's not going to stop me from claiming a certain Bears running back as a handcuff for Jordan Howard. Speaking of running backs, here's a guy who would like to acquire one. Maybe he can ask Tristan about it before he puts him on the air with us. Oh, no. That's what one of our former producers used to do. It's Kyle Mann with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
I'm close to finding one. Kirk Ferentz spoke with members of the media this afternoon in Iowa City, and he confirmed fears that senior offensive lineman Ike Butker suffered an Achilles injury and will be out for 4 to 6 months. Ferentz says that the letter of the law doesn't make Butker a likely candidate for a medical redshirt, but the staff is still going to make an effort. This likely means true freshman Tristan Wirfs will see the field sooner rather than later. Iowa also had its Big Ten schedules released for the 2020 and 2021 seasons, which held within them a couple of bombshells. First, Iowa will be playing Big Ten games in September, including a September 4th matchup with Indiana in 2021, and will not be playing a yearly Black Friday game with Nebraska. The Hawkeyes had a handful of players selected to Pro Football Focus's Week 2 All-Big Ten teams. On offense, they recognized Akram Wadley and freshman Amir Smith-Marset, and on the defensive side of the ball, they honored Anthony Nelson as well as Josh Jackson. Iowa State running back David Montgomery also had a strong performance in Ames, and he too was recognized by Pro Football Focus on their All-Big 12 offense. Just before Hour 3 started, Cyclone Basketball got a big commitment from 2018 forward Zion Griffin out of Illinois. 24-7 Sports grades him as a 4-star and the 58th-ranked player in his class. He chose Iowa State over an offer from Kansas. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins hosting the Padres. That's going to be on 107.5 FM, the North, Jim.
And that'll do it for a Tuesday edition. Join us tomorrow. Twins baseball on the way on 107.5.
For many businesses, hiring is tough, which makes it critical to choose the right place to post your jobs. You need qualified candidates fast and on budget, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Independent research shows Indeed delivers 6 times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and even set up screener questions to help you zero in on qualified candidates. You can review applicants, take notes, and schedule interviews, all from an easy-to-use online dashboard. For a limited time, Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to make their first job listing a sponsored job with premium.